if I don't have something, I need something to keep me on track. So I can't, if y'all want me to come out and walk around the crowd, I'll walk like Craig, but I'm not going to go out there, because if not, some of you all are in my small group, and sometimes I get off on tangents and go down rabbit holes, and Craig's like, you got to do this in 30 minutes. glad to be with you guys today. Craig is actually traveling. He's probably in Atlanta right now, or is he in the air? Huh? Oh, is he preaching right now? Okay. So he's preaching in Lumberton, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Okay. He is teaching at a church, I believe, that comes to the Edge some, and they invited him in to speak. And I don't know if any of you all have ever been to Fayetteville down that area. It's a very beautiful area of North Carolina, for sure. But, we have just gotten men's ministry rolling, and Craig asked me to share this morning, and he wanted me to share a teaching that I did, I think, the second week of men's ministry. I think we've been doing it for a month now. It's been 4 weeks, he asked me to share what I taught the second week, and I'm pretty excited about it. But again, we just got started with men's ministry, and it has been an absolute blast. And last week, we were able to move a family that lives next door to Britt and Kenzer. They don't come to the church. They come every once in a while, their kids. But we were able just to bless them. We moved them from about 10:30 to 2 o'clock, moved them out of their duplex that they've been living in since 2008. And they bought a house over here on Christopher Drive, and we were able to move that family. There was probably, I don't know, 10 guys when we moved them out, probably about 6 that stayed until 2 o'clock, helping this family move. No way connected to the church, but just able to just bless them and blow their mind, and it was just an incredible thing to be able to do. So next week, in men's ministry, after we have breakfast and fellowship, we're going to be working around the church. So all you men out there that haven't been to men's ministry breakfast, 8 o'clock Saturday mornings, this week coming up, we're going to be working on the choir room. Is that right, Carolyn? Is that what that's called? The choir room. We're going to be getting the choir room up to par, moving out a lot of the old hymnals. We've probably got hymnals in there that are 40 years old. You know, we're going to be moving a lot of that out, taking a lot of the shelves in, and making it another place where we can have a small group where maybe the youth can meet from time to time when they have breakout groups. Because how many people realize that the youth group's growing? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 views here of youth. Chris and Shara Anglin have been doing an incredible job, so just really excited about that. But hey, man, I'm talking to you. For those guys that have not been to men's ministry, we love to have you. Dale, I see you sitting back there. Love to have you out on a Saturday morning. And I know some of you work, and I know a lot of you. Not to call you out or anything, man. I just did. But I understand a lot of you guys' work. I understand a lot of you guys' stuff going on. But here's what I'll tell you. Men need other men. Okay? And that's something that I've learned the hard way. Any men out there pretty good at trying to, you do life on your own. You don't ask nobody for any help. You kind of just, you know, what happens usually? Usually don't work out that well. So, I'm going to talk to you today about Jacob and Esau, and it is one of my favorite teachings. And I know I say that about every one of them, I know. But I love the story of Jacob and Esau, because there's so much more to it. I think we're taught in Sunday school that the story of Jacob and Esau is one of Jacob taking his older brother's blessing and birthright. But there's a lot more to that story than meets the eye. I'm going to try to unpack that for you in 30 minutes, as Craig has said. Let me read to you here from Genesis chapter 25. We're going to go through a few scriptures, so if you guys want to grab your Bibles with me, and I told him to put up this blessed hashtag because we're going to be talking about the blessing towards the end of this teaching here. So if you guys will go with me to Genesis chapter 25 and verse 19. This is the account of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Arminian from Padan-Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Arminian. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. So she was barren. The Lord answered her prayer. She became pregnant. The babies jostled each with another, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and the two people from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." Now, two nations. Did you guys grab that? Rebekah and Isaac are getting ready to have twins. Okay? It doesn't tell us this, but I would say more or less they're probably fraternal twins. Okay? One, Esau is hairy. Jacob is not. One's got red hair. You know, Jacob is not there. But the point I want to drive at is it says two nations are jostling within you. What I want to tell you today is that those two nations are spiritual nations. They're two different natures. Okay? And I will tell you that as a believer, you have those two nations warring within you on a daily basis. Okay? One is carnal. One is a nature that wants to live for self. And the other one is the nation that wants to live for others. The inside of us, every single one of us, have a sinful nature that wants to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. We don't want to help nobody. We don't necessarily want to hurt nobody, but we're not interested in helping anybody either. Okay? That nature that just kind of wants to close in and, play video games or watch binge on Netflix for 15 hours or, whatever it is for you. Okay? You guys get what I'm driving at? Okay. So let me read to you. I want to unpack this real quick. So last year we went to Live to Serve in Knoxville. And I saw it on Facebook. It's a Facebook memory. And a group of people from the children's ministry went down to Knoxville to get better at doing children's church, to get better at doing children's ministry. And I was able to be a part of that. And I can't remember who was driving. Somebody was driving because I was reading this book. Most of the time I'm the one that drives, but this time around I was not driving. And I was reading this book, and I kept aggravating all the people in the car because I kept saying, "Ooh, ooh, 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 listen to this. This is so good." Was it you, Damon? Damon was driving. Okay, that makes sense because if I'm in a car with Damon, Damon's driving. I'm not driving if Damon's in the car. Damon's driving. So that makes perfect sense. You guys remember that? I bet Cindy does. I was like, ooh, 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 listen to this. This is so good. It's a book called Esau Rising. And it's such a pertinent for where we are as a nation right now. There's one side of the nation that wants, and it's not left or right, it's not Republican or Democrat. There's one side of the nation that says, "This is my right. I deserve this. This is my right." And then there's one side of the nation that says, "It is our responsibility to do this, to take care of this, to handle this." Okay? So let me read to you from this book real quick. It says, Rebecca, rather than feeling overjoyed, though she was troubled, something strange was going on in her womb. When she went to inquire of the Lord, he told her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One person shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. The struggle Rebecca sensed going on inside of her, was not just between two growing babies. It was emblematic of an external struggle between two competing nations destined to be at odds with one another. Moreover, it was a representative of the contest between two natures. For the believer, the internal struggle, the internal war between the spiritual and the carnal man could be likened to what Rebecca sensed going on inside of her womb. The struggle between Jacob and Esau. When we are fighting our flesh, in a sense, we are warring against the Esau within us. We are fighting against the inclination to do what is right in our own eyes, often finding ourselves attempting to hide our selfish will beneath the veneer of piety and righteousness. So there's two nations that are warring within Rebecca's womb. Let's move ahead. Let's go to verse 27 of chapter 25. The boy grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. But Rebecca loved Jacob. Ooh. Did you grab hold of that? You see the favoritism that's going on there?
Yeah.
Did you see that? Isaac liked Esau. Loved Esau. Why did Isaac love Esau? Because Esau was the guy that went out and hunted the deer, Mike Trent. And slayed the deer, brought the deer back, and made it. You know? He made it into a tasty stew and he took it to his dad. But here's the cool thing. You guys remember a couple verses earlier? There's a reason why Rebecca favored Jacob. Rebecca went and asked, inquired of the Lord. When she was having all that jostling going around in her womb, what did she do? She went and asked God. And God told her what was going on inside of her. You need to grab a hold of that, okay? Because sometimes I think we study the scripture and we study the story of Jacob and Esau, and we're like, why did Jacob and Rebecca deceive Isaac? Why did they deceive Esau? There's way more to the story than that, okay? So, let's get back to chapter 25 here. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. Famished. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Look, I am about to die, Esau said. What good is my birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath, selling him his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some little stew. He ate and drank, and then he got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. All right. So, what is the birthright? The birthright was something that was passed down in the patriarchal times to the oldest son. Okay? And he had a responsibility to take care of. This is before we had a government where you paid taxes and those taxes went to pay for the least among us and orphans and stuff like that. So what happened is the oldest got double the stuff, double the finance. Are you guys following me? But it came with a great responsibility. What Esau was designed to do was, being the oldest, he was supposed to take care of the unmarried sisters and daughters in his tribe. He was supposed to take care of his mother after his father passed away. He was supposed to take care of the widows and the orphans and everybody in the tribe. So he got twice as much stuff. It's like, say someone passes away and there's $1 million that they're giving to their two sons or two daughters. One got $666,000 and one got $333,000. Okay? But the big piece that you have to understand is that was the birthright. The birthright was the responsibility. It was the responsibility for Esau to carry out taking care of the family and passing on the heritage of the Lord forward. Okay, are you with me? So, sometimes when I would read about Jacob and Esau, I used to wonder, because I was taught Jacob and Esau in a way that I thought Esau was the victim. I was like, man, well, they kind of did Esau wrong. They did him bad. Well, there's a little bit more of that, the story than that. Because I can remember reading scriptures in Romans 9:13 where Paul quotes Malachi and he says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. You guys know that scripture? Let me read with you in Malachi, right at the beginning. Last book of the Old Testament. It says, an oracle, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, said the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? The Lord says, yes, I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I have turned his mountains into a desert wasteland and left his inheritance to desert jackals. I used to read that and I was like, what? Why is Esau getting the short end of the stick here? You know? I was like, Esau didn't do anything wrong. Has anybody ever done that? I mean, it's okay. I mean, I did it. I was like, why did God hate Esau? And it's in that last scripture that I just read to you from Genesis. Genesis 34. So Esau despised his birthright. Let's go to the part where Isaac is getting ready to die. And he is getting ready to give out his blessing. And I'm going to skip through a little bit of 27, so I'm not reading so much to you guys. Genesis 27:1, we'll start. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his oldest son, and said to him, my son, here I am. He answered, I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me some tasty food that I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you your blessing before I die. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left from the open country to hunt the game, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father saying to your brother, bring me some game and prepare some tasty food for me to eat so that I may give you my blessing and die in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, so here's what happens. Jacob and Rebekah concoct a plan to get the blessing from Isaac. Okay? Esau is out hunting. He's out deer hunting right now. He's out trying to find something for his daddy to eat. Now, here's the deal. If the blessing, if the birthright is the responsibility, the blessing is the finance. Are you with me? Those two cannot be separated. Okay? It's what is Craig? He quotes all the time. He says, I think it's from Star Wars or something, with great power. Yeah, you guys know it. Okay. Comes great responsibility, right? That responsibility and that blessing. Esau wanted the blessing. He wasn't interested in the birthright. Come on, guys. Do you have people in your life like that? Are you like that sometimes? I know I am. Here's one. My daughter's not in the room. I want my iPod now, but I haven't cleaned my room. I don't want the responsibility of cleaning my room. I want my iPad or iPod because I want to play video games. I want to play Cooking Swirl C or, you know, Clash Royale or whatever it is. You guys with me? That's trivial. But hey, I want the stuff, but I don't want the responsibility. You guys understanding kind of where I'm getting at? It's permeating our culture today. It's permeating our culture. That I need my. I call it the Beaker Syndrome. You guys remember Beaker? Me, 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 me. You know what I mean? Seriously. It's that culture of, it's all about me. It's all about my stuff, my life, and what I can do for me. That's who Esau was. So, let me ask you something. Rebekah and Jacob deceiving Isaac, was it right? Was it right? No. Sometimes I think we look at the text and we're like, well, why did Rebekah and Jacob do that? They were sinning. Sure they were. Right? But sometimes the text is descriptive. It's not prescriptive. Are you with me? It's not saying go and sin so that, you know, whatever. Right? But here's the deal. Who did the word of the Lord come to? Who did Rebekah went and prayed. I don't know if Rebekah ever talked to Isaac about it. I know plenty of husbands and wives that don't talk to each other about nothing. Okay? But the word of the Lord, who did it come to? It came to Rebekah. It didn't come to Isaac. So Rebekah's like, whoa, we got to do something here because if Esau, come on, walk with me. If Esau gets the blessing, I'm going to be in the gutter somewhere because he's not interested in taking care of me. He's not interested in taking care of the rest of the daughters. He's going to go to Vegas and blow it off. Are you with me? Are you following? He's going to go have fun. Fun in the world. Alright. Skip down with me to verse 19 of Genesis 27. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done what you told me to. Please sit up and eat some of my gain so that you may bless me. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly? How did you go out and hunt? So it's like, I keep picking on Mike. It's like David going out and going hunting for game and coming back an hour later with his stew. Like, here you go. Well, you got to pull that deer out of the woods. You got to field dress it. You got to prepare the meat. So Isaac's like, man, that was fast. What's going on? You know, right? So Jacob says, the Lord your God gave me success, he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. So Isaac's blind. Isaac can't see. This is why this plan works. Then, verse 25, then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. Jacob brought it to him and he ate. And they both drank some wine. Then his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and he said, ah, the smell of my son is the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may the sons of your mothers bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. So Isaac gives Jacob the blessing. And it isn't, it when God uses someone to send forth his word, it can't be retracted. You guys know the scripture, his word will never return void. Okay? Same thing with Isaac. He can't retract his blessing. He's already sown it. He's already given it. He can't go back now. Okay? So, here's what happens. Esau comes back. Jacob slips away. My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. Verse 32, his father Isaac asked him, who are you? I am your son, he answers. Your firstborn Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted the game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came in and I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, father, bless me. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, is he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright and now he has taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Oh, all snap, as they say. Now, let me ask you something. Esau says, he has deceived me twice. He took my birthright, and now he took my blessing. Let me ask you something. Did he deceive him the first time? No. Esau is lying. He wasn't deceived. He wasn't deceived the first time around. He came in and was hungry. Yeah, it's kind of like us saying, you know, I'm starving to death. I'm not starving to death. Right? I'm not. That he was letting, let me put it to you this way. He was letting his bodily urges control him. What did he say? He said, my birthright is of no consequence to me. I don't care about my birthright. I'm hungry. I want to eat now. Give me something to eat. Right? He wasn't deceived the first time around. He was deceived the second time. Because, again, Esau wanted the stuff. He wanted to hit the lottery and win 400 million or 50 million. But he didn't want the responsibility of taking care of his family. Now I want you to think about that from Rebecca. I just made mention to it a minute ago. But if you're Rebecca, and you've got other daughters, and you've got family, you've got your mother with you, you got your father with you, you got all of these people in the tribe, all these servants and stuff like that, you want the blessing to go to Jacob. Because again, what's Esau going to do with it? He's going to blow it. I'm not saying what Rebecca did was right, but it had to happen that way to fulfill the prophecy that God spoke through his word. So, the blessing, I can't emphasize that enough. The blessing is the finance. The blessing is the stuff. The blessing is the the prophecy that was spoken over Jacob. Esau lied when he said that Jacob had took his birthright. Esau willingly gave it away. Let me read to you one more passage from this book Esau writing, or writing by Bill Wilde. Blessings in life are synonymous, as are deaths and curses. Meaning that if I desire to obtain the blessing that comes only from God, I must be willing to walk the path that leads to life. To do otherwise means choosing to walk the broader path, the one that leads to death and cursings. By choosing life, we choose blessing, but we also submit ourselves to walking a responsible, troublesome path, fraught with challenges and travail. Esau wanted the blessing, but he was unwilling to traverse the only path that would lead him to it. Therefore, it becomes painfully clear that he was never worthy of the birthright to begin with. If he were here today, my guess is that he most likely would champion the idea of entitlements. He would not be the person who is grateful to those who help him when he is down on his luck. He would be the one who is convinced that because he needs it or wants it, he should be entitled to it. It's his right. It is also likely that he wouldn't care too much for what is required in order to provide the specific services and products he feels entitled to. If the sacred birthright was so inconsequential to him that he loves still more, then I have to imagine the virtues such as faithfulness, honor, and commitment to hard work wouldn't appeal to him either. The one who thinks this way wants to live freely and demands prosperity, but doesn't care too much to pay the price required to obtain those benefits. If commitment to the birthright is the foundation, then the blessings are everything that rests upon that foundation. Without the former, the latter will certainly collapse. That lesson was certainly made clear to Esau on that fateful day. Whew. Wowza! Here's what I want to say, guys, as I close here. The spirit of Esau lives in every single one of us. It does. The beaker, the I me my, lives in every one of us. It does. Sometimes it's kind of disguised. Sometimes it's very overt. You know, I was talking about this yesterday with Damon and my brother. We were standing around after men's ministry. And we were talking about how sometimes it's easier to give to a perfect stranger than it is to your family or friends. Because guess what? You know all your family and friends' flaws. You know every one of them. You know, and they, you know, talk about having financial problems or something going on, and then they go out and they buy a brand new car. You're like, oh my God, what are we doing? I mean, whoa, whoa, whoa. I know, that's just my family, right? Right? No. Okay. The spirit of Esau resides in every one of us. It is the carnal nature that would shirk responsibility for mobile stew. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Insert vice struggle here. Okay? Money, pride and position, power, accolades, stuff, sex, gaming, whatever. Having to be right. Steve Celine. Having to be right in it all the time. Anybody struggle with that? I do. Gotta be right, man. Gotta be right. You know what that is? Pride. It's ego. Alright, I got a few minutes to share this. Okay. So, there are the Hebrew religion has three different pieces to it. One is a literal translation, okay? One is a picture translation, and one is a numeric translation, okay? Chinese has a picture translation and a literal translation. Greek has a number translation and a literal translation. There's only one language that has all three, okay? It's Hebrew, okay? Let me read to you, this is just a little, I call it a little snippet of how great God is, okay? So I looked up the word Esau, okay? You guys follow me? In Hebrew. There's three letters that pronounce the word Esau. One of them is I am. It's the word that we get for I. It means to see. Okay? The second letter is sheen. The letter for sheen means teeth or destroying. It represents God Almighty as a destroyer. Elohim, the God that destroys. Okay? Do you guys realize there's a bunch of different ways that God is referred to in the scriptures? There's a merciful God. There's a judging God. There's a God that provides. There's a God that heals. All the way through. Same God, just different words. You guys follow me? The last word, or the last letter, is resh. It means the head. It means supreme. Okay? Are you guys following me? So three letters. Here's the picture meaning of the word Esau. To see God Almighty, the supreme, the highest. Okay? Here's the number meaning. Number 16, for I am, which means to see, means to love. The number 21, which is the number for sheen, means the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Number 20, which is for resh, means expectancy. Okay? So let me spell it out to you what Esau means. And I you can ask my wife. I got me a new book, and I'm going through it, learning Hebrew. And I was like, check this out. This is what Esau means. And she was like, what? You know. She's like, I don't know what he's doing, you know. But, okay. Let me read this to you. This is the meaning of the name Esau. To see God Almighty, the supreme, the highest, but to love the exceeding sinfulness of sin expected. Guys, we have a decision to make every single day on who we will serve. Whether we will serve God or we will serve self. And when we serve self, we're serving the enemy, we're serving the devil. We have a responsibility to touch lives, to touch others. I had the opportunity to share our Wednesday night with the kids and teach on the Lord's Prayer and a series I wrote called Believe It or Not. And it was just so good because nothing in me wanted to go and teach those kids that night. I stayed up late Tuesday night watching Kentucky play Vandy. Did anybody stay up and watch that game? I stayed up late Tuesday night watching Vandy play Kentucky. And I was tired, and I had a rough day at work. It was payroll day. The manager in the office was in Louisville, so all 16 techs are calling me, asking me about stuff. And it was just a crazy day. And I came home, and I was like, man, I haven't even looked at my script. And I went up there, and it was one of the best teachings that I had ever done for the kids. And then at the end of it, and they're just sponges, man. They're just soaking it up. And Cody had like the best like answer that I'd ever heard come out of a kid's mouth. And I was just like, oh, faith in Jesus. And then at the end, as we're wrapping up, you know, we give them a time to play. And you guys know, when you go up there to get them, they're playing and stuff like that. Rather than playing, they wanted me to play some of the worship music, and they're up there practicing their moves during worship. They're up there praising the Lord. And I just sit there, man, and I got a tear in my eye, and I was like, this is what it's all about. Because nothing in me wanted to come in here tonight. I did not want to come in here. I wanted to stay home and go sleep. Have something to eat and go to bed. Right? Are you guys following me? That's the responsibility. That's the stuff that we don't want to do in our flesh that we have to. We have to. Because we have a world out there that wants to destroy us, that wants to tear us apart, that wants to divide us. So, as Cameron comes up here, I'm gonna pray over you guys, and I thank you for the opportunity to share today. And don't be Esau. Be more like Jacob. Take that responsibility.